everybody, this is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up California. We knew you couldn't get enough with just our regular Fired Up show, so we have a new one called Fired Up California, because as California goes, the nation goes, or so it used to be. And with that, let me bring on my co-host, Mr. Tyler Collins. How are you doing, Tyler?
I am doing great. How about you? You've been busy, William. You've been doing a lot of shows this morning.
Yes, right now I'm the heart and soul of a lot of these podcasts. But as we grow, a lot of these podcasts will be taken over by other hosts. I wanted to trailblaze it and get it going. A lot of times in entrepreneurial startups, people go, well, we'll do this then. We'll do this then, or et cetera. And I'm like, no, let's do them now. Even though it's going to overwhelm us, let's get traction going. And because more importantly, Tyler, shows, no matter how well you plan them, how good you practice, they're always going to suck when you look back at them 10 years from now after you've done a few years of them. You're like, damn, we did that. And so I wanted to get that involvement, that practice time, that cohesion, building the chemistry, and bringing the audience along with us. And at the end of the day, for you business entrepreneurs out there, if an investor can see a product that's already in place that has shown improvement from its beginning to where it's at and has room to grow, that can generate more buy-in, and that's important. And with politics, Tyler, I truly believe in my heart we're seeing the slow denigration and downfall of traditional entertainment. Politics with Trump, with Obama, with other characters entering the fray, it's Elon, you know, George Soros, whether we like him or not, is becoming a name that people may not know who he is, but yeah, recognize that name. It's becoming its own version of Hollywood. And my point being is there's so much daily news and people, look, I'm with you.
I heard someone one time call politics ugly Hollywood. If you're too ugly to be in regular Hollywood, you become a politician.
Yeah, and it's true. It's true. Look, I'm sorry. These first ladies don't come – well, maybe Melania, but most
of them – I was going to say Melania. Come on now.
Yeah, Melania is probably the only one who'll compare to the great starlets of Hollywood. I mean, look at our last two. That's right. I'm making a political knock. You know? Let's get down to it, though. So, obviously, this is Fired Up California, Episode 3, where the Golden State's burning through cash faster than the Hollywood divorce settlement. Speaking of Hollywood, and again, I am your host, William Del Pilar, and we're going to torch the nonsense we've been hearing about the high-speed rail. We're climbing aboard the Phantom Express, California's high-speed rail to nowhere, a fiscal ghost train that's been chugging through billions since 2008 without a single passenger to show for it. So picture this, Tyler, $128 billion black hole, $6.8 billion in federal funds vanishing, and a Trump administration that's decided to review all of this. And they announced this in February 20th, just a few days ago. And they are ready to derail this boondoggle express. Can Sean Duffy and Doge yank the emergency brake? Or is this spectral locomotive too buried in Sacramento swamp to stop? But wait, there is more. That's just our first topic. Did you know it just came out? Gavin Newsom's out there on his knees begging Trump for a $40 billion bailout to rebuild Pacific Palisades after January's wildfire, because apparently Spielberg's Infinity Gem-filled pool trumps the taxpayers' needs. From rail fantasies to Hollywood handouts, California's a circus of madness, mismanagement, and Tyler and I have the receipt. So tighten your seatbelt for an hour of cost overruns, political quicksand, and the state so broke it's auditioning for Survivor, fiscal apocalypse. But before we roll, you can find this podcast and my others at grumbliesmedia.com and at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblies Media. So let's roll. This train's already 17 years late. And let's welcome my co-host, Tyler Collins, to break down the Phantom Express. The floor is yours, my friend. What is this high rail speed to nowhere about?
Well, let's break down this boondoggle. Let's get this show. I was going to say show on the road, but show on the tracks, really.
Yeah.
So what's the high-speed rail? So I think we all know what a high-speed rail is. It's a train. At the end of the day, a high-speed rail is a train that goes very fast. So
that's
you've got regular trains, and you have high-speed rail. And so the United States has a lot of regular rail. It's Amtrak, which is actually quite useful if you live on the East Coast. I used to live in Philadelphia. I take the train all the time to D.C. or New York City with my wife. Very easy. But on the West Coast, our cities are really spread out. So that normal train, if you're trying to go from Los Angeles to San Francisco, it's going to take a really long time.
Right.
You're going to be sitting on that Amtrak forever. So you might as well save money and drive or just take a plane. They're really cheap. Take a plane. Go from LAX, John Wayne, San Diego, and go right to your destination. But someone back in 2008 had the brilliant idea. What if California built their own high-speed rail? They said, we can do it. Other countries have done it. France, Japan, they have high-speed rail. Why not in the United States? And so California was going to be the leader for the country and build high-speed rail connecting San Francisco to Los Angeles. So this is how the project was initially pitched, William. The voters were told
LA.
That, yeah, excuse me. What did I say?
No, you said it right. I just want to reiterate that idea.
Yeah.
A very important point. San Francisco to LA.
That's a really important point. So that this is back, going, rolling back the time clock here. Back in 2008, when this was pitched to voters, Proposition 1A, this was on the ballot. This was a $9.95 billion in state funding that was going to be allocated to create high-speed rail connecting San Francisco to Los Angeles. And this was marketed as a great job creation project. It is going to reduce pollution, and we can stop the cows from farting because I guess that, you know, creates greenhouse gases. It's going to be way lower cost, and it's going to expand transit. It's going to be so great. Well, enough voters were convinced by this that Proposition 1A narrowly passed in 2008 by 52% to 47% and change.
Right.
So the initial completion date for the high-speed rail was 2020. Tell me, William, what year are we in? Can you remind me?
2025, brother.
Oh, what? I think they forgot. I'm sorry. So I think they're a few years late. Well, you know, they didn't just forget the time, but they forgot what places we were going to. So it was supposed to go from San Francisco to L.A. Where is the train going to now?
I don't know. To Bakersfield, I don't know.
Bakersfield. So it was pitched as connecting these major cities, but now it's actually the Central California line, and it's only connecting Bakersfield to Merced. So they scaled the project down from San Francisco to L.A. Now it's only Merced to Bakersfield, and it's way over time, and it's way over cost. So you took something which in theory sounded kind of good, maybe high-speed rail, and you made it something which is pretty useless. I mean, there's not that many people who live in Bakersfield and Merced compared to the big coastal cities. And it's just a boondoggle. So there's a lot to dig in here in this swamp of – this is just a mess. Where do you want to start with everything?
Well, okay, so we're talking about what I call a fiscal fog. And we're talking about consuming billions without a single passenger. You know, Ty, this is like a bureaucratic enigma. I think the Twilight Zone. And the reason I say that is 2008 and finally the Trump administration in 2025 is launching a compliance review to dissect the federal funding. Now, guys, we're not talking about any other funding but federal funding. But that said, Tyler, how does 17 years since 2008. How does 17?
You're mathing today. Are you doing it? That's good.
Yeah, and over 10
got it.
Federal funds with no functional rail. How does that escape the label of gross mismanagement? Because they're still pushing this. As, yes, we need to do it. When does investment become irretrievable waste? Because that's what I see.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, it happened in California, so I don't know. What do you call the difference between waste and investment, government investment in California? I'm not sure. It's just whether or not they want to keep doing it for now. But it seems the spigot from federal funds could be turning off. Like you said, the Trump administration is really questioning further commitments of federal funds to this. And like you said, where'd all the money go? There's this bureaucratic fog of war almost. It's just the money went in, and where did it go?
Well, for the audience, so Biden funded $4 billion. He pledged $4 billion in 2023 for the Central Valley segment between Merced and Bakersfield, obviously. That's yet to be disbursed. That's supposed to be followed by another $6.8 billion in prior federal funds that have already been expended. I'm sorry, this follows, meaning $6.8 billion has already been expended. And this is DOGE's estimate. And this is coming around with the help of DOGE. So we're looking at about $10.8 billion in total investments. And this investigation that's going to be done is going to determine whether additional federal support continues. And look, Tyler, you've already said it. This project has been hampered by escalating costs and missed deadlines. So just to reiterate to the audience, $4 billion is unspent. $6.8 billion has already been spent. So we're just going to be trying. We're salvaging just $4 billion.
This is federal funds. This is not total. This is just from the federal government, from taxpayers in Alaska and in Tennessee and all these other places.
So I'm asking you, Tyler, as a constituent who has gone into politics, when you hear this, my question to you, Mr. Would-be politician, why does Washington persist in funding a rail project with no operational results years after the investment? And is this political patronage? Was Biden helping California's Democratic stronghold at taxpayers' expense? Is that what we're actually seeing here? Political payoffs, cronyism?
That's what I would think. I mean, I'm not going to say those words because I don't want to get sued, but I would allegedly this is one hand washes the other. It's like you have these big omnibus bills, and then they get rolled in with all these, like, pork. All this pork gets rolled in there. Like Nancy Pelosi's Tunnel of Love, the San Francisco big metro line project they were going to build. And all these parties, they know one hand washes the other. You have, all right, Biden's going to devote X amount of dollars to California, this Democrat stronghold's projects. And those projects benefit the state, county, local Democrat establishment. And now that Democrat establishment is going to support them in federal elections. And so everything, it's all a team. It all works together in this sort of very corrupt, beneficial way. Of course, the Democrat voters don't see it like that. They see it as, oh, we're building the future of transit in this country. And they say, all these countries have high-speed rail. Why can't we?
You know, real quick off a tidbit here, they tried to push this as a bullet rail at first, and then the true definition of a bullet rail came out, and this is not a bullet rail. Those things go at truly high speeds of 100, 200 miles. So, I mean, from the get-go, it was one lie after another. So Duffy, again, Secretary of Transportation, stated, quote, "We can't just give money to states and not ensure that they're spending it in accordance with the agreements they signed up for." He also clarified that California may use its own state revenues freely, but he's evaluating whether this high-speed rail, marked by delay after delay after delay and cost overrun, justifies federal investment. So what he's saying is, California, we're not going to stop your high-speed rail. If you want to use your own taxpayer dollars versus the rest of America funding a boondoggle project, have at it. I have to be honest, Tyler. I think that's more than fair. I really do. Because at the end of the day, if you want to fund a rail to nowhere, knock yourself out. And what he's saying is, look, California, you're using the government to help fund the federal government to help fund this to hide the fact from your constituents of how much money you're wasting. Is that a right way to look at it, or am I wrong here?
It's more than fair. The government is already they've already spent $6.8 billion in federal, it's with a B, $6.8 billion in federal funds on this not yet operational rail. The federal government doesn't owe them anything else for it. I don't see any reason. Why are taxpayers in West Virginia funding some useless high-speed rail in the Central Valley of California? It's completely idiotic.
Exactly. I agree. So this is speculation, but I'm going to ask you anyway. And I say speculation because they could if they really wanted to. But can California actually really sustain this project on their own without federal funds? And if they do get federal funds, will they balk if the feds say, we're taking over the project?
That's a good question. Does California even have the wherewithal? I mean, we talked about Newsom's already on his knees begging for aid to rebuild the Palisades. I mean, someone's got to pay for these new infinity pools. So there's that. And California is in a mess. Like you said, they should really be going on survivor, financial extreme circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what, Tyler? $10 billion, that's just still a tip of the iceberg. You know, DOGE's critique is data-driven indictment. That's how I see it. Or,
totally,
as you have to see it, it's a publicity stunt by Musk. So, well, how do you measure $6.8 billion? And the reason I say that is because progressives are saying, well, that's just a drop in the bucket. It's no big deal. You're making a mountain out of a hole, out of a molehill. How dare you take people's jobs away? How dare you take California moving forward into the future away from us? That's what they're saying. Whereas DOGE is saying, that's $6.8 billion. I'll help you out here. Western North Carolina, L.A. wildfires. Not even the L.A. wildfires. Call it the SoCal wildfires. I'm like, that $10.8 billion would look much better in helping those in actual need. Your thoughts?
I totally agree. At this point, this is really just a jobs project and like a political kickback project is what it's become. High-speed rail is a secondary goal. Like, yeah, let's say they've built the high-speed rail. Great. You have a Merced-Bakersfield line. What is that going to do? It does nothing.
And we're not knocking Merced or Bakersfield, but they're not metropolises like San Francisco, L.A., and to a lesser extent, San Diego. For those that don't realize, San Diego is 2 million strong about 20 years ago, the county. So it's not like we're a metropolis. We're very spread out. So, yeah, San Francisco and L.A., which is why it was originally created. But I could have seen it adding San Diego and eventually growing, but it's doing none of that. And to make it worse, I know I didn't talk with you about this beforehand when we discussed the topics, but I did bring it up because I got – this project is so old, people, I conflated two projects. They've talked about, hey, we need like an L.A. to Vegas or San Francisco to Vegas. We need that. And I this project's so old and so over the top, I kind of conflated it. I mean, they're talking about that now too as well. I mean, so we don't have one done. We're already talking about moving to another. Is this an indictment of how negligent California is in actual planning for the future?
Yeah, just think of what has happened in the time period since this project started. You had the entire financial crisis, the entire Great Recession happened. We pulled out of Iraq, Afghanistan. The Syrian regime collapsed. The Ukraine war has almost come and gone, and the California high-speed rail still isn't even close being built. Like, you literally had entire periods in world history, and we still haven't built this, like just excuse for a rail project. That's the timeline here. And the initial cost was projected, this is what it was sold to the voters, $33 billion. What's the current projected cost? $128 billion.
That's probably a conservative number.
And so, that's a conservative, exactly. Yes.
So I want to give the other side here. Well, first of all, I want to go back in history. Y'all may not realize, people, but Trump, during his first term, sought to rescind $1 billion in federal funding and lost. So we have been trying. And the reason I say that is there's going to be pushback to what DOGE has exposed and what Secretary Duffy, Sean Duffy, is trying to do. But it faltered because of legal challenges and congressional resistance. $1 billion. So this is not going to go down with a fight, but I think the winds of change are happening, including California. We may not have the majority, but it's no longer a 70% majority. It's like a 55% majority. We are, and then if you take voter fraud out, and that's me, I'm saying that, yes, I believe I have done immense research on voter fraud. I believe it is happening. 99.9%, Tyler, the Republicans leading after election night gets whittled away, and 3 to 6 weeks later, all of a sudden the Democrat emerges out of all the mail-in ballots. And the reason I say that is there is no chain of custody. So I do believe that. But I think if you paired it off, I think California is in the winds of change. I think they're looking more and more like this is a boondoggle. So I think they will be successful here. Now, I want you to respond to that. But also, Newsom tried to tie this to a firm that does well, actually. What's that firm called? Do you have it there? You may have it, but oh yeah, the Brightline Connection. It's well run. It's properly funded. It's showing its results. Newsom tried to tie our high rail into that, I think, to sit there and say, that we're doing as well or we can do as well. He was tying it to try to keep this money flowing. Your thoughts on the fact that winds of change and how, the constituents will look at this boondoggle and Newsom playing politics with the wink, wink, hey, we're part of them or we're working with them. In reality, that has nothing to do with the boondoggle.
Yeah, it's kind of like throwing a tire off the side of a car with a rope and then the tire drags behind the car. And you said, look, the tire is going just as fast as the car. Yeah, that's like, yeah, California High Speed Rail and Brightline.
No, yeah. It's such a joke. It's such a joke, I think. And they think we're dumb enough to fall for it. And that's what's kind of irking me. And I hope he's in for a rude awakening. Now, that said, California's defiant. The CEO for this project, Ian Chaudhry, he welcomed the review, Tyler. He said, he says they are confident in their documentation and compliance with federal agreements, yet pass on its tail a darker tale. A 2018 state audit slammed the project for $600 million in cost overruns due to poor contract management and cronyism. Are they that arrogant that they think that they can pull the wool over us again?
I hate to say it, but I think they do. Well, their voters don't hold them accountable. They just keep electing them, and they keep doing these projects. And you have all the propaganda, which is pitched like, oh, we need to save the world. So to do that, we have to save the environment. And to save the environment, we need high-speed rail. And the voters, I think, just kind of, you know, cover their eyes and pretend that they don't see all the waste, fraud, and abuse. And they just point and say, well, we need to do this for the environment. You know, it's we really have to do this. And anyways, it's kind of a luxury belief. Like, if you're some uber-rich Hollywood Hills, like, greenie, okay, so you can't, like, buy another wing on your mansion. Maybe, because you had more taxes. But at the end of the day, like, you can be popular with your Hollywood clique and say, oh, I really support high-speed rail. It's a luxury belief.
Yes, 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 yes. I mean, its concept is great. Hey, let's make that six-hour drive, or let's remove that 6 to 8 to 10 to 14-hour drive with the high-speed rail and make it the Orient Express from San Francisco to L.A. Or even better, in the future, once we do another boondoggle, going to Vegas, you know, having Orient Express. That sounds nice. You know, you make it just an event. It's kind of like when we were young before the drinking laws came of age. We sit there, the road trip to Daytona from North Carolina, nothing but a beer fest. I hate to say it, my generation is statistically the biggest boozing generation in the history of our country. And you look at all the age film. I'm laughing, but I shouldn't be proud of that. But that's how it was back then. I don't condone it. It's just how the world was. All right, Tyler. So just to reiterate, because I know what your answer is, before the audience, before we close it out, is there any reason to sink $25 billion or more into the $11 billion that's on paper to allocate that hasn't been allocated yet, while Newsom begs for $40 million for wildfire relief? You know, with homes burning, no trains running, where should the federal funds really go? Disaster recovery or this endless track to nowhere? your final comment on that?
I think we need to have those funds that were going, that would have gone to the high-speed rail. They need to go to Altadena. They need to go to Pacific Palisades. They need to go to North Carolina. They need to rebuild normal working people's homes instead of stuffing the pockets of politicians with corrupt contracts and making union bosses rich.
I agree. The Phantom Express lurches forward, a spectral relic of ambition drowned out in inefficiency. The Trump administration's review, it casts a fleeting light on what Tyler and I look at as a fiscal nightmare. But with billions vanished and political entanglements deep, very deep, halting it remains a distant mirage at the moment. We're going to have Democrat pushback. We're going to have legal challenges. You add the $40 billion ask, and maybe it's time for the feds to tell California to get its priorities right and stop screwing the American taxpayers to cover up California Democrat incompetence. This rail to nowhere lingers in the ether. All right. Newsom's California cash carousel. Billions for trains, illegals, and tents, but peanuts for burnt out taxpayers. And Mr. Tyler, I am referring to what we've talked about, the $40 billion request. And Newsom is literally on his knees. Somebody like Newsom, who has badmouthed Donald Trump, and behind closed doors, please, 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 please. As the next sailor, I have a different image in my head, which we're not going to talk about. We want children to listen to the show. But you get my point. Your quick initial thoughts before we dig into the details of this.
Yeah, well, the carousel goes round and round and round, and what do we get for it? But I hope it's actually going to be spent. If they do get the $40 billion in federal aid, I hope it actually does go to rebuilding houses. And I hope it goes and builds those houses soon.
I agree. So for the audience to know, just a couple of days ago, what's today's date? Where's my calendar? Today's the 23rd. The 21st, just a few days ago, Newsom mailed a tear-stained plea to Congress for nearly $40 billion. Please, please. Well, I don't want to make Newsom sound worse than what it was. It was technically $39.68 billion. To drag Los Angeles out of January's wild.
You're just full of mis and disinformation, William. It wasn't $40 billion. It was $39.99999 billion.
So what bothers me about this, we have to help Palisades. And that's probably the biggest devastation. But that's also one of the richest areas in California. You know, that's where Hollywood royalty, like Spielberg and Aniston, who still looks cute at her age, which is my age, you know, they're wanting to fix all this. And then they go, oh, we got the FIFA World Cup and we got the Olympics. But where's the love for, as you stated, Altadena? That's where the working class live. That's where those living check to check live. It's as if he wants to take care of his rich cronies. Now, I'm not saying he does, but there's perception versus reality. So, Tyler, in fair defense, and I truly mean this from my heart, I could be completely, and I hope I'm completely wrong. But it just seems like, you know, let's get some of that $40 billion. Let's put $15 billion to Altadena now. Am I being too political in how I look at this?
No, unfortunately. I think that's what tends to happen. And this problem of corruption and allocation of disaster relief funds, this is not unique to California, blue state. Red states, they get these disaster relief funds, and there's probably questions about whether that was fair and how they are distributed.
Yep.
So it's just a political thing, unfortunately. And part of the problem is that these rich neighborhoods, these rich people can afford rich lawyers and rich community groups, which hire rich lobbyists. And all these resources are then spent to try and get as much from the government as they possibly can. So the ones who need it the least have the greatest ability to get the funds from the government.
Right. And I didn't put it in my notes, but how much of this is going to cronyism? So, for example, out of this $400 billion, now they're not going to admit it, but they would have, or out of this $40 billion, they're not going to say it, but I'm pretty sure before it was reduced from 400,000 to zero and helping LA out for free, they would have found a way to finagle these funds, the $500,000 there, over to the cronyists, with their cronyism to their consultants. And that's what concerns me. And let me spill out some of these numbers to you, because 40 billion to help out. Yeah, yeah, let's do it. Let's break it down. 9.9 billion to patch up homes and businesses. Got to save Spielberg's screening rooms. All right, I'm being mean there. It's going to also go out to others in Palisades. That's being mean. But 5.3 billion in business loans. Why? So what they're asking is, give us 40 billion and we're not going to give it to the people. We're going to give it to them in loans, which means you have to pay it back to us. So that's double dipping there by California. 4.32 billion in grants. And this is where I'm not wrong on. I'm basing this off experience. That 4.32 billion in grants, as we've seen with the 24 billion given the homeless, is going to go to nonprofits that are paybacks for activism, where the executive directors earn six figures, 200, 300, 400, 500,000. That's documented facts, folks. That's where a lot of your homeless money goes, not to help the homeless, but to feed the trough there. That's what those 4.32 billion in grants will do. But Democrats want to help the poor. They want to help the lower income working class. So out of that 40 billion they're asking, they're going to give 2 billion for low income housing tax credits. Meaning you have to apply for that money. Then somebody goes, your ghetto does not pass our criteria. Oh, hey, Bob, Mr. Gentrification Lawyer, I got some land for you over here. You know, so that's how that works. The 2 billion is a paltry sum. And spare change for the roads and pipes, which is local and state level, one of the main proponents they should be working to fix. You know, so this follows his January 23, 2025 state level 2.5 billion wildfire relief bill. Mostly sirens, not hammers, meaning they're screaming about we need money, we need money. Well, when you break it down, it's really not going to where it needs to go in its full plan. Now, I granted, I'll give him credit. Most of it, $10 billion is going to fix homes. This is out of whack. You know, this is out of whack. I think that's 10, you know. And that's not even the $40 billionaire. So who knows where the rest of it is going, Tyler. Your early thoughts on this. I mean, your thoughts on some of those numbers I put down.
It's just hard to wrap your head around it. You hear 40 billion, 10 billion, this. 10. We just don't deal with those sort of numbers in real life. We can't even conceptualize like how much that would be. And at the end of the day, it just becomes some number on an accounting spreadsheet. And, oh, whoops, we overestimated this cost here. And, well, this nonprofit person's salary was some multiple of six figures. And so it goes through all these different levels of bureaucracy, and that's the devil's in the details. And that's how you have all this corruption and cronyism and paybacks. And
no, you're right. You're right. And now, granted, this is only about 21.22 billion. So there's still like about an 18 billion. Maybe that's going to go to Altadena. I don't think so. I think we're seeing more cronyism. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we're looking at billions more needed to repair the devastation just from these fires. As we know, life does not sit there and pause. Okay, let's pause and let's let California catch up. There's going to be another disaster. Statistically, it is imminent. So it just bothers me. And, you know, on the positive, you know, Newsom in his begging did have to give Trump his accolades. But he hates him. And I haven't even touched on it. But real quick, don't you think that $50 million they're going to use to help illegal aliens through courts instead of deporting them, as what should be the case legally speaking, shouldn't that $50 million or $25 million or whatever, it doesn't matter, still a lot of money, go into the effort to rebuild SoCal?
Yeah, that should be – I mean, they should definitely do that. Or maybe you can at least buy a couple pieces of track and a high-speed rail, you know. Who knows how much they mark up those pieces of track. It's like the military, like you buy a pen for $70,000. Like how much is it per piece of track? I don't know.
Yeah.
You can 50, get something.
No, $50 million is what they funneled into the Trump Defense Fund. Then, hold on, that's just not in. So we got the, as you said, the billions for the high-speed rail. Then we have $11 billion in Medi-Cal for illegal aliens, $22 billion on homeless tent flops, one point, and here's one. Here's where it's like we're throwing big numbers, $100 billion for the high speed rail after the offset of that. Well, $30 billion is what he said. Tyler said $50 million for the Trump defense, $10.5 billion. I'm repeating it again, but $10.5 billion for Medi-Cal, $22 billion for homeless. Those are big numbers.
Medi-Cal for illegal immigrants, $10 billion. Medi-Cal for illegal immigrants.
Right. As our lower income people struggle to be able to go to the hospital and emergency rooms are flooded and they have to wait in line. And yes, I do believe in taking care of America first and then having the compassion with what's left over to help the rest of the world. But take care of your people who are paying the taxes first. And I'm a Latino, born and raised in Panama, half Puerto Rican. So with Asian, I'm just a minority muck. You know, and the reason I bring out all these big numbers, though, and I need to stop digressing, is $1.4 billion was spent on climate resilience, a package that's done squat for wildfires, despite only giving photo ops and tree-hugging grants. And this is per Cal Matters that they exposed in 2024. This is how they nickel-dime us with a billion here, a billion there. We see the big numbers, and that's what makes us go, whoa, what, huh? But they, every year, it's $1 billion here, $1 billion there. So they are killing us as a state. L.A.'s fire crew starved. No pre-blaze staffing because of overtime. You can't be paying overtime. We don't have the money for it. Really? You got $11 billion here for this? Now he's pleading with Trump to help fix this mess. So this ass has D.C. debating. Should aid come with a leash, Tyler, meaning – contingents, meaning, okay, we'll give you this money, but this needs to happen, that needs to happen, this needs to happen, that needs to happen. Should it come with that?
I don't think it should come at all. But if it is, yeah, put on some conditions. Make them actually show that they're being responsible with West Virginians' money and Alaskans' money and our nation's money.
I think here's what you do. And Trump could do it. He won't because the odds. We're going to send Doge in to look at your coffers. And everything that's being spent and that, we're going to make sure that goes to L.A. fire. That goes to this disaster. That goes to staffing.
They will never let the day that California lets Doge audit their financials is the day hell freezes over.
True.
It's not happening.
Yes. That's what the Democrats and that's what the power will say. However, we do have elections. We do know they're corrupt here in California. But this is something I think, well, they want to. They want to get billions so it can help me? By God, I want that done. This, to me, is – there's certain campaign tactics that are no-brainers that I look at Republicans. I'm like, are you an idiot? Yes, we are because I'm getting rich while you stay poor and I don't care about you. But I will sit there and do my commercial and pretend I do. I'm sorry. I'm a conservative, but that's how the California Republicans operate. My proof? We were once a vibrant red state that has turned deep blue because that's been their attitude towards the constituent. And it's taken an outside force of Trump, who we had a podcast. Check it out. Podcast Fired Up, episode 65. Tyler was a guest on this last time. We all agree we don't like aspects of Trump. But I love his results. I think he could win over and force. See, Trump is the art of the deal. You come in demanding that. You're not going to get it. But they've got to come to the table because the people are like, hey, I like that idea. And I think it could push the Democrats to that $50 million anti-Trump fund goes to the people. This $11 billion illegal alien Medi-Cal, is it Medi-Cal, Medicaid? Medi-Cal, goes to the wayside. You know, all these programs, and it puts California in the eye. And if California conservatives, no, actually, California, if the California Republican Party is smart, they can piggyback, and we can begin the change. So I'm not just talking immediate. To truly help, the ultimate goal is to help the people. And then we're spending $50 million, Tyler, on stuff that's not helping the people. I think I am the right. I am being the righteous one here, you know. And then we piggyback that to get fairer elections, to get the roads cleaned up. I just see it as a whole avalanche, you know, small snowball getting bigger. And the only reason I believe this can be done, Tyler, is because we have Trump there. Again, people may not like Trump, but he's doing an audit that is supposed to be the inspector general's jobs. Who have ultimately failed because they became partisan almost from the day one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is the secret sauce that we might have as California conservatives. This is what might enable us to have victories in 26 or 28, is if we can get the weight of the Trump federal government to apply pressure to the California Democrat establishment and say, hey, you got to do voter ID or you're not getting this funding. Or, hey, you gotta open up the books to Doge, or you're not getting that high-speed rail funding. If they can do that, that's gonna be great. Because, A, if the Democrats don't comply, then the Republicans can say, well, look at that. You didn't get us funding because you refused to open up the books to an audit.
That's
right. They can pitch that to voters. And
right.
B, if they do open up the books, we both know what's in the books. We both know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to show the legacy of incompetence and corruption of the Democrats running this state for decades. And so
right.
that's going to be good for Republicans in the election. So either way, I think the Trump White House can definitely help us. And I hope to gosh that we're going to be getting that aid.
And they're going to
use upcoming elections.
They're going to try to use the courts to help them. And Trump can turn that against the Democrats. We can't give you your money because they won't let us, because they want to take us to court. We're trying to help you, to give you every drop you deserve from not only your money, taxpayer of California, but America's willing to help. But America's tired of just throwing money, because where's the cleanup in terms of the deforestation? Where's the water manager? We can't keep doing this. And I think California's at a point, because I don't care about the rich Spielbergs who are going to thumb their noses at us. But because Palisades also has a working class there, and they're going to go, I'm not you, Spielberg. Go screw yourself. And I think they could do it. All right. All right. Look, Gavin Newsom's a walking punchline, Tyler. Torching California's budget on the progressive pipe dream and Hollywood handouts. Yet what's he doing now? He's crawling back to Trump when the state's on fire and his wallet's empty because he blew it on his pet projects. The $40 billion bag fest, that's pathetic. He's a governor who'd rather fund defiance than fire trucks, and now he's sniveling for a federal sugar rush. We can't just toss him the cash. No way. We got to prioritize California over illegals, overhaul immigration to stop the freebie flood, and restore voter election integrity so this clown show doesn't rig itself into perpetuity. So, let's move on to our final segment. Tyler, tell me, what do we have on tap with our final segment?
Our final segment, Hot Takes California Style. So here on Fired Up California, we have our lightning round. This is where questions are asked and the panelist gives their point of view as to whether they agree or disagree or whatnot. And once all panelists have given their answer, we move on to the next question. So let's start with the first hot take. California's immigration policy, evolution and potential backfire in 2025. Source, Times of San Diego. So just a little historical context and the shift in California's immigration policies. So over the past 30 years, California's approach to undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, that's the real term. This is, their approach has shifted significantly. So the term illegal aligns actually is what aligns with legal government usage as seen in federal statutes like the Immigration and Nationality Act. So what do we think about this? What do we think about the evolution of California's policies?
Well, I do know this Prop 187 was passed on the basis we as Californians cannot dictate immigration. That's a federal law, if I'm correct. And that federal law, who I believe there's 3 million illegals here, takes, with the Trump administration, the ICE raids and all that, Tyler, out of the hands of the state. And I think that's what we're looking at, a possible takeover of handling everything immigration through the federal government and using the tools of the left that they used to open the doors up of the border, because it was at the time a progressive-led federal government. This immigration policy evolution is going to come to bite California in the tail. You can't defend something after you've been with the law that now helps your enemy, because your enemy will use that law. And that is, immigration falls under federal jurisdiction. That's what the Prop 187 was all about. So while it evolved back then, it's going to bite them in the butt this cycle, I believe. Entitled for the audience, it was a 1995 ruling that will now enable federal deportation in 2025. So what we're looking at 30 years later, what was used to help open our borders can now be used to shut our borders down. That's how I view this evolvement. What Democrats fail to understand is when they sit there and play the game for their own benefit, it eventually comes to bite them. The easiest point is SCOTUS. There was a proper protocol to SCOTUS, the Supreme Court nominees. The Democrats broke the rule. Thus, Mitch McConnell was able to stop Merrick Garland from coming to the floor for a vote, and we got three conservative justices by using the Democrats' tactics. So that's how I see this evolvement. I see this evolvement as a way now for the federal government to use the law that was helped illegals against them now to deport them. That's how I see it. Am I wrong?
I totally agree. Democrats, be careful what you wish for. You had this federal ruling back in the 90s. You had federal authority, Trump state authority, and now look what's happening. It's being used in the exact opposite way.
And Tyler, the Times of San Diego, it's not a leftist paper, but it's very progressive, and they're the ones who are reporting this.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't call that a conservative paper. That's most definitely like a liberal paper. This is a mainstream media liberal paper. And they're exactly like you said, they're the ones saying this.
Yep. All right, what's next?
What's next? All right, number two, hot take number two. Democrats shower illegals with cash while Californians get crumbs. And the clowns still vote blue by Fox News. Well, we have rising health care costs for undocumented immigrants in California. A California budget official recently disclosed that the state's taxpayers are spending significantly more on health care for undocumented immigrants than previously estimated, with the current figure reaching $9.5 billion annually to cover Medi-Cal expenses. This is what we talked about, the $10 billion in Medi-Cal. I mean, $9.5 billion for our lefties out there who are going to say we're lying. Okay, it's $9.5, not $10 billion. Sure. Anyways, this revised estimate that was just given is up from an earlier $6 billion. Oops. And it includes $8.4 billion from the state's general fund. Wow. That is amazing.
And, you know, Tyler, who helped expose it, is one of your friends here in San Diego politics, and that's Carl DeMaio. Well, he brought it. He made sure to bring it to the public. Love him or hate him, he's not afraid to make things public as they should be.
Yeah, he certainly is not. He doesn't take much gruff from anybody. And that's one thing Carl's always consistent on is taxes and the implications of spending our money on things which really shouldn't be prioritized. Why are we spending money on illegal immigrants' health care when we can't even rebuild houses in these burned-out areas? It's just completely crazy.
I agree. And somebody who's eyeing the governorship, Steve Hilton, he stresses, look, the state's high poverty rates and tax burdens, this money could be used elsewhere. And some argue that the same thing, that the funds could address other pressing state needs like health care access for citizens or deficit reduction. So I am with those.
And it literally people. Could, because it said $8.4 billion from the general fund. These aren't earmarked funds that are ineligible for other uses. $8.4 from the general fund. So it can be used for other things.
Yep. That's right. That's right. So I am with the crowd here. I'm glad it's been exposed, and bring Doge to California.
Let's Doge California. All righty. You ready for hot take number three?
Here we go.
Hot take number three, New York Post editorial, quote, wrong way to win back voters, ludicrous denials of government fraud and others, commentary. So this is an editorial basically chastising the Democrats for their strategy, their media strategy in relation to Doge. This article is basically saying that Democrats are showing an unwavering defense of government institutions like USAID in the face of assault from Doge. But many Americans know little about and view foreign aid as an unpopular budget item. In an era where voters demand significant political and economic reforms, Democrats fail to distinguish between what should be preserved and what should be reformed. Because of this, the Democrats are potentially alienating voters even further.
Right.
Me and government fraud denials. The media outlets are downplaying concerns about government fraud. What do you think about all this, William?
Well, the reason this topic, I think, relates to California is the two California senators are really pushing, with the media's help, saying that we're being taken over by billionaires. We're not helping those in need. And what's slowly happening is the exposing of how the money really works, how the grift is done, how it's literally like 90% progressives who benefit from this, 10%, maybe a little higher and lower on each spectrum. But the point is the whole congressional delegate, whether senator or representatives from California, are helping to push the lie. There's nothing to see here. It's only 1%. Where Californians are going, whoa, hold on. That $10 billion, that's not just – it may be 1% in the overall – my God, that's only 1%. How big is this government nightmare? They're not helping their cause by – it's kind of like, hey, look, the sky is blue. And Adam Schiff goes, no, the sky is red, son. You don't know what you're seeing. You know, it's kind of like one of those, and they're losing their voters. I love it. Keep doing it is my take. You're not doing anything to win back your voters by not telling them the truth, and it's going to help our cause. So keep it up, Adam Schiff. Keep it up, Mr. I don't even remember your name. You're inconsequential as one of our U.S. senators. Keep it up, every congressional rep here in San Diego and elsewhere, because all you're doing is spewing lies in an unliable scenario, meaning you can't lie. You lie, you make yourself look worse, and that's going to help the conservative cause. That's what I think about it.
Totally agree. The conservatives have entirely taken the position as the party of common sense. The Democrats have lost that. They lost that with the trans issue. They lost that with all their wasteful spending. And now they're continuing to lose that title when they keep defending things which are obviously, on the face of it, they're obviously not in the interest of the United States taxpayer. Let's not even talk about how USAID is really just a CIA front. We don't need to go into that whole thing. But just looking at the titles of these programs, why are we spending billions on, like, Sesame Street in Iraq? Like, why are we doing that? It's just, okay. And the Democrats continue to defend it. So, yeah, they're just continuing to alienate voters.
So I remember there was a Sesame Street Panamanian style. I'm assuming it was probably for all Latino countries. And now that I look back at it, that was probably a product of USAID. And, you know, Big Bird was purple. He wasn't yellow. He was purple. Yeah. Wow. All right, brother. What else we got?
Well, number four, this is kind of an interesting one. Heroin-filled Bibles. Ooh. I was researching this the other day, and my wife was like, what are you looking at, Tyler? I said, I got a news story. I got to look for this segment. So, believe it or not, this is a recent story. So, Miss Stone Rojas, a 46-year-old California woman, was sentenced to 7 years in prison for attempting to smuggle heroin into state prisons using Bibles. Let that one sink in. Trying to smuggle heroin into prisons using Bibles.
Tyler, a praying. So what happened?
Well, besides people being really interested in Bibles all of a sudden, she was arrested in November 2023 during a traffic stop in El Cajon, right here in San Diego County, where police found her in possession of a stolen Porsche and a loaded handgun. Discovery of the heroin filled. Go ahead.
So, no, she has a previous history then of criminality, then, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
So when did they discover these Bibles? I assume that was probably more recent. Well, maybe not. I guess at the end of the day, what can you do? This is the product of giving people too many chances. They get her with a stolen Porsche, handguns, and she's still out on the street. Her next stick is heroin Bibles. I mean, this is what I mean by we're too soft. I'm not saying I am. I would have the chain gang one half of the week, and then I would have study time, meaning you're teaching them a new trait. You're punishing them for what they did, but you're at the same time rehabilitating them with teaching them an actual trade. That's always been my belief. But instead, We believe letting them out. Oh, they learned their lesson, Tyler. They're going to do good this time. Tyler, it was not a Porsche and guns this time. It was just heroin. And, you know, we should sit there and make drugs all legal. Oh, actually, I shouldn't say that to Tyler sarcastically. He does have libertarian traits. You may believe that. You know, but you get my point, brother. You know, and we're too soft a society. Maybe I'm too harsh, but we got to do some changing here. Because, one, people, let's not look at the prisoners with the heroin. Let's look at the process of getting the heroin to the Bible and how much tragedy ensues to that. So my take is well-deserved. She belongs in jail. I don't want to say throw the key away, but I want to say throw the key away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you said, they keep letting people off. Now, we did have a big reversal of that, right? We passed Prop 36. That was a big deal. So this is kind of going against...
You mean that's the problem where we're actually going to put people back in jail and keep them in jail?
That yes. So I'm saying the culture shifted. So the pendulum went one way, and all the Gascones of the world and the Bodines, these, like, stopped-on-crime DAs, people got sick of it. People got tired of it. They're impeaching them, voting them out of office, passing these citizen initiatives like Prop 36 to actually try and restore some sense of holding these criminals accountable for breaking our laws and endangering our society.
The winds of political change.
The winds of change.
What else we got, brother?
What else we got? Well, this is a good one. This is a fun one. California bill aims to recognize Bigfoot as the state's official cryptid.
Woo!
So cryptid for you. Woo, we got Bigfoot. Well, at least we got that going for us.
Yeah.
You might not have a house in Altadena, but hey, you know what? Our state's official cryptid is Bigfoot, so that's just awesome. So California bill to recognize Bigfoot as the state's official cryptid, a new bill introduced in the Assembly by member Chris Roger, would designate Bigfoot as California's official cryptid. So this actually goes back to the state's long history of Sasquatch sightings since the late 1950s. So it's kind of a cool thing. It's a unique thing to our state.
You know, I am a wanna believe guy. UFOs, Bigfoot. Some are more rooted in history because if you go back to the Native Americans all the way from here through Canada, the Northeast, even the Himalayans, all the natives, yeah, they have these legends of them. And but boy, we can't find Mr. Bigfoot. And I think it's a fun story. I mean, Tyler's only kidding about it. You can't have a house in Altadena, but we got Bigfoot, you know. But at the end of the day, there's a rich history in California. The famous, I don't know if you have it there in your notes, but I can't remember the name of it. There's a famous video that the whole world has seen. Even if you're not into this, you've seen the video of the Bigfoot walking.
Yes, yeah. The really shaky, like, YouTube, like, camera, like, Blair Witch Project sort of type.
Yeah, something Gimli video, and I have watched some of these Bigfoot shows. I just love entertainment. I am very widespread. I'm not a crackpot. And we've seen the White House or the congressional hearings now talking with our government saying, "Oh, yeah, we don't know what that thing flying in the air is," you know. So with Bigfoot, there's a rich history from Native Americans going back. And if you ever watch one of these videos, kind of even the reality shows that show people living in the wild, when they do that pan shot, it is massive. I mean, it's like the Amazon. We have parts of our country that are kind of like the Amazon, unexplored. You know, people haven't walked through there. So who knows? I think it's a fun thing. I think it's take one of the few times they can take advantage. This will actually help with the tourism. We're the official, Bigfoot is our official cryptoid, you know. And the reason I say that, you go to Humboldt County, way up north, which is off forestry, and there's a lot of tourism for that. So it's fascinating. I love this. It's one of the few things California has done right. What's your take on it before we close out the show, though, Tyler?
Yeah, I think it's a fun thing. I don't think everything has to be, you know, doom and gloom. And we got to enjoy life, and we got to celebrate the things that make us unique and make California a special place with a special history. And so I like this.
And I would open my doors to Bigfoot. First to the shower. Here's the shower, Mr. Bigfoot.
He's got to take a shower first.
Yeah. All right, folks. That's a wrap on episode 3. California's Phantom Express keeps rattling through our wallets. Newsom still kissing Trump's ring for $40 billion. And Bigfoot's the only one with a decent alibi for anything. So don't forget, before we roll, You can find this podcast and my others at grumblingsmedia.com, at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, e Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. Tune in next time when we'll see if Sacramento can mismanage its way out of a paper bag or just beg for more federal glue. Stay fired up, California. This circus ain't over yet.